Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From our 901 Mission Street studios, you are listening to the San Francisco Chronicle.
Okay, are you recording?
I am recording, yeah.
Yes, you may open the gift. This is for your 93rd birthday.
Wow, by gosh, it does say on the package, happy birthday. Well, this is my first birthday present. 2021.
So that was me and Heather Knight deep in the lion's den giving Quentin Kopp a birthday present. Heather, this is a total SF, a long time in the making.
Yes, we've kind of joked about Quentin Kopp a lot because he is notorious for writing letters to journalists, usually angry letters. I've been the recipient of many. You usually get nice letters, but you are very uncontroversial, Peter Hartlob.
That's not true. As we will explain in this episode, I'm about 50-50 because, Heather, I make grammatical errors.
And
Quentin Kopp does not like poor grammar. Let's explain who Quentin Kopp is. He's a former supervisor, started, I think, in 1971. He was a state senator and a judge, once ran for mayor against both Jello Biafra and Dianne Feinstein. That would have been a fun debate. The 380 freeway is named after him. That part of the freeway between 101 and 280, named after Quentin Kopp. And also, he's retired, sits on several boards, and writes us letters.
Yes, he estimated that he's written 3,000 letters to journalists in his lifetime, which is 92 years, coming up on 93, which is why we gave him the birthday present. He also divulges he has the same birthday as London Breed. Fun fact.
And he also was a subject of a story recently. I want to give credit, like kind of almost our spiritual third co-host here is Lily Janik, who actually received one of those critical letters. I think it was grammar related, and went out and met him and wrote a story about him. And I think that was the point where you and I, after talking about Quentin Kopp, are like, all right, let's sit down and do a podcast.
Yeah, we were kind of half joking about it for a long time because we were a little bit scared. But in person, he's very gentlemanly, and he did not criticize us verbally, although I'm sure we will get a letter because of this podcast.
I don't think the letters are going to stop. I thought about that. Like, we've met with him now. We've had a few laughs. I don't think the letters are going to slow down. Set up this visit for me. I actually picked you up, and we drove out to his West Portal office.
Yes, West Portal is a very old-fashioned neighborhood in San Francisco. I love it. It has lots of great small businesses lining the main drag there. And at the very end of the western part of that main drag is an office in which Quentin Kopp has rented an office for a very long time. We saw the desk where he writes the letters, and he reads the Chronicle and the Wall Street Journal there every morning, and then is inspired to write several letters because of what he's read that's angered him, made his blood pressure rise. So we got to see where the magic happens. He does not type or use email or social media, so letters are his only way of contacting journalists when he has something he's angry about from the morning's newspaper.
Yeah, I mean, and I used to get letters, you know, 20 years ago, I got letters all the time from a bunch of people. I get fewer and fewer. Quentin Kopps are the ones that are still coming like clockwork. I actually get a little jealous when you text me and say you've got a few Quentin Kopp letters and I didn't get one. I'm like, am I not writing, you know, controversial enough stories? I don't know.
Yeah, and he did tell us that what he was going to do immediately after the podcast was write our education reporter, Jill Tucker, an angry letter. So get ready, Jill.
Yeah, and that does come up in this podcast. And he, by the way, mentions why he's writing it to her. And we didn't challenge it because we just wanted to get on to the next thing. So he has a criticism of Jill, but I don't want anybody to take that as fact. Jill gets her response, maybe in a future episode. So anyway, it was a good time, and we were a little bit nervous. It ended up being a good conversation. We talk about and we get some life lessons from Quentin Kopp. He called me, I thought this was kind of cute, after the episode to add that in addition to his other life lessons, that key to longevity is that he swims every day for 25 minutes at the Olympic Club. So if you're looking to add a few extra years to your life, get that swim in. Quentin Kopp coming up. I'm Peter Hartlob here with Heather Knight, and this is Total SF.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, welcome to the Total SF podcast. You were asking us what a podcast was when we came in, and kind of like a radio show, and people are going to listen to this, and they know who you are and know who we are, and we're just glad to be here. You invited us to your West Portal office. How long have you been here?
I've rented a office from Peter Bagatelles, Esquire, whose brother and sister and he own the building that was founded by their late father, a medical doctor, since 2010. Wow. And it's about a mile and a quarter from my house, so it's a good fit. And I pay a modest, even far below market rate in rent.
You have rent control?
Pardon me?
Do you have rent control?
No. It's a commercial property.
So you've lived here for quite some time. What do you like about West Portal?
West Portal has a conglomeration of businesses of all kinds, including seven or eight restaurants in three blocks, and many people still know me as I walk up and down the street, but it has almost any kind of service which a resident needs.
It has an excellent bookstore.
And a bookstore, which is outstanding. That's correct. And newspaper store.
Mm, we like those.
Which carries all the newspapers that are still printing.
How many newspapers do you read a day?
I read two newspapers a day. I read the Chronicle and I read the Wall Street Journal.
We thank you for that.
Yes, thank you. We know you read us because we get a lot of letters.
You're about to send Jill Tucker one.
Oh, what did she do wrong?
She made a mistake in that story about the school board today, referring to a lawsuit which was filed by Paul Scott, an attorney who started practicing in San Francisco with me and who sued to set aside the action or the resolution of renaming 44 schools. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jill said the lawsuit was threatened. It was more than threatened. It was filed and Paul Scott obtained an alternative writ of mandate, which says to the school board, either repeal that resolution or show cause on such and such a date why you haven't done so.
Mm-hmm. We'll let her know it's coming. I remember, you know, you came into my life, we'll say 79, because that's when I started paying a little bit of attention. I'm a close to being a Chronicle paper boy. I remember the 79 election distinctly because it was you and Feinstein and Jello Biafra, which...
Wow, that's quite a collection of people.
Which hopefully that was a fun debate. I would pay to see that. But I look at the stories now. I look back and they framed you as abrasive. There was a whole story profile about you being abrasive.
Curmudgeon.
And I want to ask about that because, you know, Lily Janik wrote her story and we get our letters and we joke about you being a little bit abrasive, a little bit of a curmudgeon. I think in a positive way, there's, you know, respect there. Yeah. What do you think about that tag? Was that fair? And what do you think about...
I think it was fair. And Clint Riley came up with a television ad to deal with it, in which I sat in a chair and somebody interviewed me saying, it's said that you're a curmudgeon. Is that true? And I would roar with laughter to show that I was cuddly. Yeah.
I don't think of you as cuddly.
And anyway, I don't think that affected the result of the election.
Well, there's just one unbelievable story out of City Hall these days after another. The most recent one was the $20,000 trash can. Do you think that City Hall needs somebody who's more of an abrasive independent more than ever?
Yes. Yes. In my years, 15 years, most of the time John Barbagelata was there. He had been elected in 1969. He and I had met in 1964 when I was Pierre Salt, one of his lawyers, in getting him on the ballot for the Democratic primary for the United States Senate. And, of course, he had his real estate office on West Portal Avenue and lived a couple blocks away in St. Francis Wood. And he endorsed me. And that was precedent-breaking when he endorsed me in 1971, together with Molinari and another fellow who didn't get elected. Molinari did, because the custom was that you didn't, if you were a supervisor, you didn't endorse anybody, even your own buddies on the board. And it's a good policy. It's not law, but it's a good policy.
And we should mention Barbagelata. We just went by Barbagelata Real Estate, which shows how embedded that name is in San Francisco, and also how old school West Portal is.
Yes.
It's still there.
Yeah, and his son Paul is responsible primarily. Yeah. Paul, who I don't think even graduated from City College, who built that business beyond anything John could ever imagine when Paul was a little boy.
But I interrupted you, and I'm sorry.
But John was a fiscal conservative. Mm. And that's when I began to learn fiscal conservatism and how important it was to protect taxpayers.
That doesn't exist in San Francisco anymore.
That doesn't exist anymore. There isn't a single one of the 11 who talks about it or practices it. And that's why you've got a budget of $13.8 billion a year, which is more than the city of Philadelphia's budget.
Is there anybody you like now?
Well, I like Aaron Peskin, I know that he's with friends of mine who just denounce him regularly, but Aaron is honest, and he's bright, and so he's got his...
He's a little abrasive, too.
I guess he is, yeah. I guess he is, and he likes her. I guess he's now going sober.
Yeah,
He likes
like a lot of us during the pandemic.
But he likes to tipple now and then. I've never seen him in that condition. Before the pandemic, we used to have dinner a couple of times a year with our wives, and I'd have lunch with him. But I like him, and I don't know about the rest of them.
I want to switch to a little bit about the letter writing, because we get your letters.
Your letters are famous among journalists in San Francisco.
Lily Janik described your handwriting as a jaunty, swooping cursive, which I think is accurate. Were you always a letter writer?
Yes, I was. During World War II, I was, let's see, in 41, I was 13. And when the war ended, 1945, I was 16. But I wrote to my uncles and my cousins who were in the military. It was just what you did. Almost every night I would write at least one letter.
Are you anti-typewriter, email? Did you ever adopt any of that, or was it cursive letters the way through?
I'm not a professional typewriter or a typist. I didn't take typewriting or shorthand in high school, which you could take, and males used to take those subjects, not as many as females, but I typed of a fashion when I was in college. I had to for papers and the like. And I'm not an email exponent. I have a assistant, let's say an administrative assistant, who I dictate to on the telephone, and she handles the emails, and she gets them and faxes them to me in the next room.
I want to first note that I'm a much better typist than Heather. I think typewriting is... I'm making a feminist statement here, Heather. Okay. I think men and women can type well equally. I also want to ask you about social media. Did you ever think about Facebook or Twitter? Because you would be fantastic on Twitter. Dan Rather's on Twitter. Mel Brooks is on Twitter. Mel Brooks is like 5 years older than you.
Oh, yes. Yes.
We could help you set up a Twitter account.
I will accept that offer. Yeah. No, I haven't thought about it. And so it puts me at a disadvantage. There's no question about that.
Do you have any social media presence?
No. So that raises the question, does social media need me more than I need social media?
How many letters do you think you write every week?
About 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does a day pass where you don't write a letter?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I would say of those 10, like 7 are to Heather, right?
Well, it has the therapeutic effect of letting her know I'm reading her.
I do look forward to your letters. Whenever I check my mailbox at the Chronicle, there's always a letter from you. Good. Where do Peter and I rank among the people that you write most frequently?
Probably in the upper 60%.
Okay.
High five.
Yay.
We've had times where we're at the point now, because we get back in frequently to check our mail, and Heather will be like, I got 3 letters. And then I go and I have none, or I have 1. And then I'm just like, kind of like, ugh. But mine are more like, and this is me, it's a miracle I'm a journalist, because I was just not a good student. And I had, you know, some attention deficit disorder issues with my learning, and a lot of my letters from you are either you're appreciating the nostalgia of what I write, or you're coming down on me because I used a word wrong, which I do a lot.
Correcting you.
You're correcting me. Yeah. It's about 50-50.
Yeah.
between
appreciating. I should do that more, because there's so much tautology in the Chronicle. It merits more attention. And I was taught about the iniquity of tautology by a long-ago Chronicle columnist, Charles McKay.
Oh, wow.
The Fearless Spectator.
Oh, I read him often.
I didn't know what tautology was, even though I didn't major in English in college. I took English courses, and I was a first-rate reader of both fiction and nonfiction. He taught me about tautology. Nobody teaches the evil of tautology now.
Well, we appreciate the letters. Honestly, if they stop coming, we're going to be worried. So keep writing. How do you feel, though, when you're writing them? I mean, Do you consider it banter? Is it, you know, are you pretty angry at us, or is it?
A little angry. It's to use an old expression, letting off steam.
Okay. Do you feel better after you've written the letter?
Yes, yeah. I do.
Cool.
Yes. And it's worth the 55 cents.
You must be at the post office a lot.
Pardon me?
You must be at the post office quite regularly.
No, I buy two rolls every month, one for the office, one for home.
And one for Heather. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, we're going to have a lightning round in a little bit, and that's going to be very short answers. So we're going to prep you for that. But I wanted to ask you, your wife, Mara, is president of the Cow Palace board. I'm a huge Cow Palace fan. I think it's just like, you know, the working class hero of the Bay Area.
Yes.
And as much as I love the past, I think it could have a future, you know, fitting in to a different kind of event that's not Chase Center. I'm pro Cow Palace. I wanted to just ask you a few of the favorite Cow Palace events that you've seen, because I only go back to like the 80s. You must have seen like Evel Knievel. Did you go to WrestleMania, roller derby? You must have seen it all.
Well, the one I remember probably first was the NCAA regional basketball tournament. And I saw that about 1959 or 60, because it featured Elgin Baylor from Seattle University, and I saw it with a young friend of mine who was in high school, and I was stationed in Oklahoma in 1954, who had played basketball at Stanford, and I remember specifically the circus, which I took my two sons to at the Cow Palace. And of course, I remember the rodeo, which I used to go to even before Mara was on the Cow Palace board. And she went on that board about in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And has been president since 2015. And the Cow Palace has had a custom of practice, incidentally, that once you're elected president, you remain president until you don't want to be president anymore. I did see Evel Knievel at the Cow Palace.
He broke a couple bones, if I remember. Not quite enough room in the Cow Palace for him to land the motorcycle.
And I saw the Warriors play there. I saw the ill-fated ice hockey team play there.
The Sharks or the Bulls?
The Bulls.
Oh yeah, I saw the Bulls. The Bulls. The Bulls were a good time.
Yeah,
I wish they would bring back another hockey team. Maybe Mara doesn't, but
no, she does. Yeah. Of course, events are a staple. Although, as a footnote, even despite the inability to hold events the last year and almost a year and a half, the Cow Palace has been leasing its property, including the San Francisco Tennis Club and Daly City Police Department for training, the San Francisco MTA for training and the like, and has got a surplus of $4,400,000.
Wow. Maybe Mara needs to go to City Hall.
Yes. And the state has not funded agricultural districts at all since 2008. So all of the 54 or so agricultural districts have to cover their own costs.
Well, we appreciate the Cow Palace. I want to do like some kind of roller skating night there, because roller derby.
Oh, Ann Colvello. I saw roller derby.
Did you see Ann Colvello, and who was she used to take tickets at the Niner games,
yes,
too.
Yes, yeah. I saw her. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a women's league.
Yeah.
Well, you've survived our serious questions, and now it's time for the lightning round.
So these are quick answers.
Short answers.
Quick answers. I'm going to cut you off if I need to.
He's ruthless.
Respect to you, Judge Kopp, and everything you've done in this city, but I will cut you off if we get.
Where is your favorite place in San Francisco to get a burrito?
I don't eat burritos.
Oh, taco, Mexican food.
I don't know. I just did have a taco someplace.
just say Westlake Joe's.
Yeah, Westlake Joe's.
Westlake Joe's is the answer to every food question, Heather.
What is your favorite? What is your favorite movie filmed in San Francisco?
Oh, the one with what was it? Clint Eastwood.
Dirty Harry.
Yeah, Dirty Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And. That also helped me in 1971 because you could advertise your political campaign on the Muni streetcars and buses. And I had a big sign on the Muni streetcars. And that one of those streetcars was portrayed in the movie.
Oh, no, we're going to look for that. I'm going to check out the movie.
The late Peter Finnegan used to claim that that's how I beat him.
Wow.
For the sixth and last spot.
I'm going to go look that up, and if I can find that image, we're going to get that on Twitter.
Yes, for sure. Where is your favorite place in San Francisco to get a stiff drink?
I only drink at home.
What's your drink of choice? What's your favorite drink?
Vodka martini.
Like Herb Cain?
Straight up.
Yep.
And secondly, tequila over ice.
Okay. But you don't go out?
I don't go out, no. At 92, almost 93, I'm not taking any chances. On the road.
What was your first concert? Do you remember?
My first
music concert?
Oh, gee. Yes, sure. Syracuse, New York on Sunday nights. The Strand Theater, which was at the south end of South Salina Street, the main street in San Francisco, used to have big bands. I saw Paul Whiteman. I saw Bob Crosby and his Bobcats. I saw Cab Calloway.
Wow.
Paul Whiteman
mm-hmm.
and his orchestra. And I would take about 15 minutes by bus from our house downtown. And I was probably 12 years old.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
What was the last book you read?
In the process of reading a book from the California Historical Society, which I'm a member of, on the Gold Rush and the beginnings of the state of California as a state, 1848. Mm-hmm.
How many letters do you think you've written to journalists in your lifetime?
2,000, 3,000.
Wow. No, more, higher. It's like Price is Right, higher, higher.
Have you ever gotten a response written?
Yes, a few.
A few,
yeah.
You got our birthday card.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Kind of a response.
Right. Yeah.
What is your biggest gripe about modern day San Francisco?
City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fiasco. I think the mayor does as well as she can with her background and with the Board of Supervisors. She's an honest person, and she also has the merit of being born on August 11th.
Oh, there we go.
Together. You share a birthday.
Yes.
How old is she going to be?
I don't know. She's mid-40s. In her 50s, I
think. No, she's not 50 yet. She's not going to like hearing that.
Well, she's had a remarkable life.
Yeah.
The department heads are feckless. The Board of Supervisors is a joke. There's no serious effort to control spending or to minimize taxes. It's just the opposite. And it's abated a bit, but another one of the iniquitous practices has been to give tax breaks to these technology companies if they settle in San Francisco. The late Mayor Lee did that with a couple of those companies.
Mm-hmm.
That is abominable public office to bribe businesses by cutting taxes. What about the business in the next block on West Portal?
Well, Heather and I are very pro small business, so that's an area where we're not gonna argue with you. No letters on that.
No.
We're pro small business, and I think now more than ever we need to help these businesses. Thank you. You have survived the basic lightning round questions. That's what everybody gets. We have one special for you. Other than politics and grammar, so taking away what might be in a letter, what life advice would you give to us? Life advice.
You, after all, survived 93 years. Still happy, very smart, great memory, doing well.
Never retire. That means that your mind keeps working, your brain keeps working. Don't get hard of hearing. That is a affliction I have, and it's disconcerting to other people as well as me, but that's mostly hereditary.
Yeah, I can't really help that.
My mother had poor hearing, and my sister, who's 20 months younger in Los Angeles, does too, and so do I. And continue to go to an office. Of course, you don't do it during the pandemic. Every day, get out of the house during the day for 3, 4, 5 hours or so, and participate in civic organizations. I'm on the board of, I think, 5 entities. I'm president of the Korean War Memorial Foundation, which raised over $4 million to build the memorial in the Presidio of San Francisco. I'm on the board of JAY, the Jewish Newspaper of Northern California, where my function is to raise money. And I'm on the board of the California First Amendment Coalition, which is similar. And I'm on the board of the Northern California Jewish Sports Hall of Fame, which doesn't require much time or effort, but participate in that kind of an organization.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned my wife. She's on the board of the Salesian Boys and Girls Club, been on it about 20 years or more. And she was on the board of the Adult Rehabilitation Center of the Salvation Army. And I was taught that by my mother particularly. She was a leader in organizations in Syracuse and in Onondaga County. And she never finished high school. She got to the third year of high school and had to go to work to make money. in Binghamton, New York, to pay for college and medical school educations of her two young brothers.
Wow.
But she still participated, and that's a great lesson.
She participated, and by the time of her junior year, she had learned how to type and take shorthand to be secretary to the richest man in Binghamton, Willis Sharp Kilmer, of Kilmer's Root Tonic.
I'll get some of that, whatever it is. Hopefully it'll help me with my hair growth. We wrote it in the letter, and we do appreciate the letters. We appreciate your interest in the Chronicle, even if we don't agree. Appreciate the feedback, and it, you know, starts a dialogue, and also just appreciate your service as a politician here and as a judge, and continuing to care about San Francisco, which is something that all three of us at the table, I think, can agree about.
Well, it was a pleasure to talk to you in person, and I will check my mailbox regularly. I hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you, Heather, and thank you, Peter.
Yeah, thank you. You are listening to the San Francisco Chronicle. Total SF is a production of the Chronicle. Our music is The Tide Will Rise by the Sunset Shipwrecks off their album Community, and Cable Car Bell Ringing by 8-time champion Byron Cobb. Support Total SF in the newsroom that creates it by investing in a digital Chronicle edition. It's less expensive than you think. sfchronicle.com/pod.